Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
From Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for December 17th, 2010, episode 35, sponsored by the Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World. Good morning, Glenn.
Slip a sable under the tree for me. I've been an awful good girl, Santa baby. Hurry down the chimney tonight, Santa baby. A 64 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. That I haven't kissed. Next year I could be oh so good. Have you check off my Christmas list?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Jamie.
I am so excited, Glenn. My husband comes home tomorrow.
Yay for you. Oh, you must be so happy.
This has been the longest 2 weeks regarding that. I mean, I've been home every night. It rained here yesterday. I just kind of had the emotional meltdown. My poor husband is in Greece, and I'm like, you better call me. After, like, a $50 cell phone call, because I needed, you know, a little attention, he reminded me that he will be home Saturday night. So I'm feeling a little bit better. I'm getting ready for Christmas. I'm in the spirit. Everything is coming up roses.
Yay! Well, I'm glad he's coming home. You'll be such a bubbly girl next week. And and we all know how emotional you are, so I knew that this was going to be tough. It's good this was only a 2-week deployment, you know?
I know, and he reminded me, well, what if I go away for 6 months? And then I just started crying, and I'm like, oh, and he's like, I'm just, you know, backpedal.
You shouldn't have said that. There are times to say things and times not to. Yes, timing is everything.
Thank you. That's what I said. I'm like, inappropriate right now.
Santa Baby was from Trish Lynn of the All-American Cowgirl Chicks. We started out with there this morning. Had to give her some credit. You can find her at trishlynn.com. You're going to start hearing some of her music. We actually did the Tournament of Roses Parade show yesterday for Stable Scoop. It'll go live later today. What fun we had, Jamie. It was a blast.
Oh, yeah. Well, that sounds great. I'm excited to... I'm excited to hear it and talk to him, and maybe, you know, maybe you can go next year since you've never been.
I want to go so bad, and we actually talked to the committee chairman of the equestrian side. There's almost 300 horses in the parade this year, and he was a fascinating, fun guy to talk to. And so we're looking. Everybody will be able to hear that a little bit later in the day. That'll come out over at stablescoop.com. Well, how's things going on the hot guy front?
Well, it's funny you should ask, because I was just studying and going over the list of nominations. And I must say, we got a pile of most eligible bachelors, but we could use some more eligible bachelors. And I cannot believe this. We have, we have at least 20 nominations for the best in breeches category, and horse husbands, guess how many? Two. I mean, people, come on, nominate your husbands. Yes, I thought that would have a million, but only two nominations for horse husbands. So I'm sad about that. We have we need some more farriers, we need some more vets, and we need some more dads. Although, I mean, if I get one more email about Monty Roberts, I'm going to pull my hair out. Everybody loves Monty Roberts, and after his daughter called him yesterday and nominated him, I am getting a flood of email going, I wish Monty was my dad. Nominate him. He should win. He should win. So, you know, Monty Roberts is in good company with Kyle Carter as the eventing dad. But just to let everybody know, we're still accepting nominations for that. Best couple and best in breeches. We have not narrowed it down to the hottest guy in riding pants yet. So keep them coming, right, people.
I did some tips yesterday. I recorded some tips with Raphael. And remember, Raphael was on the show with us here. And he has the beautiful horse, Ivory Pal, the Tennessee Walker.
They're nominated. Yeah, they are.
I know.
Nominated.
I told him yesterday. And let me tell you what, he just laughed. He thought that was the funniest thing. And I told him, I said, you know, we've had a couple of emails, and I have had a couple of emails from people who have said that they think it's degrading. This contest is terrible, and they think it's degrading. And I said, Raphael, do you feel degraded? And he said, oh, yeah, I feel real degraded. Somebody thinks I'm hot at my age. I feel degraded. So, you know, guys and girls are just different that way. We, you know, somebody notices and says we're hot, we're all over that. We don't have a problem with that at all.
Well, and Raphael's in good company because Cutie Patootie Aaron Ralston and his horse Bud are nominated for Best
that's
Couple.
Good,
they're
that's actually a good term for him is Cutie Patootie. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and he's along with Peter Adkins and H.J. Hampton, Henny Run, Henny Run. And, you know, it's going to be tough to beat Zenyatta and Charles, her groom. So I don't know who Charles is. I've just seen the pictures on because I don't know if you know, but Zenyatta writes a blog every day on Zenyatta.com. So she's got photos with her and Charles, but I don't know Charles's last name. I need to figure out a way to get a hold of him because he is nominated for the best couple, and we like to let people know. So still accepting the nominations for the 2010 Hottest Horseman Awards. This is going to be huge, people.
Well, you know, speaking of Run, Henny, Run, speaking of Peter Adkins, did you hear the good news there?
Well, I know he's doing better after colic surgery. What else is going on?
Well, John at Eventing Nation posted yesterday, a few hours ago, I got word that the court had ruled in Peter's favor with respect of the issue of control of H.J. Hampton or Henny. Due to the sensitive nature of the case, I contacted Peter and asked him for a formal statement, and this is what it said. On December 16th, the court ordered H.J. Hampton to remain in the custody of Peter Adkins pending a final hearing on the matter. Adkins will continue to be responsible for the horse's care, training, and boarding until further action by the court. The order also prohibits Mrs. Linda Martin from selling H.J. Hampton and from taking any action affecting Adkins' rights to the horse. A final hearing will be scheduled for March. So, it's another temporary thing, but it's a good temporary thing for Henny and Peter.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I hate to make this woman, Linda Martin, you know, to make her look like a horrible person, but it's just, I mean, she's messing with, like, the favorite horse of eventers because of these helmet cams, and they have skyrocketed to popularity because of these, and it's just such a fun partnership to watch. So, you know, I hate to say it, Linda Martin, but everybody is pulling for Peter in this one, I think. And, you know, Henny, get well from colic surgery. That's the first and foremost thing, but... it's a tough call. It's a tough case.
It certainly is. But, you know, and there are a couple other things, too. Yeah, but let's get to Jennifer and find out what's coming up on today's show. And then we have some news things that we want to share with everybody that were kind of fun.
Sure. Get Jen out of the way till you get to the fun stuff. Get Jennifer finished so we can talk more.
I guess that didn't come out right. I was sleeping on the couch tonight, Jamie.
Yeah, you are. You're in trouble.
On today's show, we're going to be talking about the Hungarian, and I'm sorry ahead of time, Ellen, if I'm messing this up, Kisbury Felver horses, Hungarian horses to you and I, with Ellen Walker. That could be a fascinating conversation because they have quite the history behind them, those horses. And Lisa will be here with the much-anticipated Friday Chronicle report, everything that's fit to talk about and not print, and nominations for the Horse Radio Network Hottest Horseman Awards continue to pour in, so expect plenty of talk about that from our callers and our Facebookers and Glenn and Jamie.
And Jamie.
And Jamie, too. I'm surprised she even said my name after I apparently slighted her. But I can slight people without even knowing it. It's funny. I have a talent. I have a gift.
You're oblivious. That's one of the things I love about you.
Are you feeling slighted that your wife has not nominated you? Because maybe you could put her on the couch tonight.
Oh, actually, I'm kind of glad because then I'd have to lose and I'd be all upset.
Okay, so it's planned. It's a planned non-nomination.
Jamie, it goes
okay,
like this. Glenn is a sufficient flirt without encouragement.
Who, me?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, right.
And the next story of the day is Conan O'Brien. And I don't even know how old this is. But, you know, he has his new show there, which apparently is flagging a little bit in the ratings. But Conan, and I'm not a big, let's qualify this, I'm not a big Conan fan, and I'm not a big Martha Stewart fan, but this particular video was kind of fun. Conan O'Brien went to Martha Stewart's farm to spend some time there and to learn to ride horses, and it was funny. I have to say, it was a funny video that you should probably watch. I just want to play a little bit of it. I have a little bit of the sound from it, but I think you'll get the gist of what's going on. You have to go watch the video. We'll post it in our show notes, and we'll post it over on Facebook. But here's a little bit of it. It was very fun.
Okay, it is just after sunup here in Ossining, New York, and I'm going to shoot some segments with Martha Stewart in just a couple of minutes. Pretty amazing place here. Martha has all kinds of assistants running around. She has a lot of technical support and help. Look at her camera setup over here. That's amazing. She's got a big long camera up on a jib. She's got all kinds of monitors and bank lights over there and cables. It's really cool. Let's get a quick shot of my camera crew. Wait, we can't do that because I only have one f***ing camera. I'll show you around the place. This is interesting. You should check this out. This is something
this
that
is a
Martha
couple of
had
Cavalettis
built.
Piled
basically,
together.
Anyone on her staff who disappoints her is tied to this thing with their naked back exposed, and then Martha whips them right here like this. I said 3 egg whites for a plunk cake! Not 4, 3! 3! 3!
Well, today I'm going to teach my two-legged friend, Conan O'Brien, a little bit about horse etiquette, horse grooming, and about what horses like to eat.
What the hell?
Come on, right
here.
Is there a steering wheel?
Yes, right there. Come right around me.
Right here? Okay. Come back around this way.
No, you're doing fine. No, I didn't say to go anywhere, Rutger.
How about right here? That's perfect.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Okay, I just wet myself. There you go.
So that was a little bit of the tape. It's very funny. You have to watch it. It kind of looked like they were riding some Frisians is what it sort of looked like.
Really?
We'll post that in our show notes. Yeah, it was pretty funny. I have to say, as I said, I'm not a big fan of either one of them, but the whole thing seemed to work. And the line, there were a couple of Cavalettis stacked up, and that's what he was saying, the whole whipping thing. And it was just fun. That's good. It looks like we have
I
a caller
Conan.
On the
I love Oh.
Do you?
I love Conan O'Brien. I think he's hilarious.
Ah, see, I guess we're generational difference there. But we have a caller on the line here I want to take. I recognize the name. Is this Cindy from the Kentucky Horse Park, Cindy?
Yes, it is. Good morning, Jamie. Good morning, Glenn.
Well,
morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for giving us a call. What's up with you?
Well, I just had to nominate someone for Bachelor of the Year. It's my boss,
okay.
John Nicholson.
Really?
Yeah. And I've got the, you know, the difficult part, that one of the reasons I wanted to call in was because you limited us to 200 words, and I could go on and on and on with far more than 200 words about why he should be considered. So where can I begin?
I guess I didn't even know that John was single.
He is divorced, and he's single.
Okay,
now,
cool.
Cindy,
yeah, go ahead.
Cindy, I got your email about John, and I put him on the list, but you kind of cheated the whole 200 words because you just made a list of all the awesome things about John instead of using some other words. You just made a list.
Well,
and,
I started out with a paragraph, but the paragraph went on for pages and pages, so I had to just keep whittling it down until I got to 200 words.
So I actually remember meeting John when he took over for the horse park, and you know, when I was working there at the horse park, I volunteered for the Mustang troop, and you know, I remember when John came in, and I remember meeting him, and I remember thinking what a dynamic personality he is. He was just kind of waltzed into the horse park and had all these ideas, and everybody was kind of like, well, we'll see. Well, man, that man has done some amazing, amazing work at the Kentucky Horse Park. So, I do agree with your nomination. So tell us a little bit about why you think John should be the most eligible bachelor for 2010.
Well, I guess on a purely business level, let's look at that first. You know, as you mentioned, he has already done really amazing things here at the Kentucky Horse Park. It was a little over 14 years ago when he first had the idea to bring the World Equestrian Games to the United States. And he did it. Not only did they come to the United States, they came to the Kentucky Horse Park. And, you know, in spite of a lot of naysayers, excuse me, and a lot of people who didn't think that the Games would ever come to the United States, but they did. We had them here at the Kentucky Horse Park. They were a huge success in every possible way. So, you know, that in itself, to me, is a pretty good reason for him to be nominated as the most eligible bachelor. But in addition to that, just on a purely, just on a level that will appeal to a lot of women out there, I've got to tell you, he looks good in jeans, he looks good in a tux, and in addition to that, he likes animals. I've seen him hug dogs around the park. He lives with a cat named Mr. Wiggles. It doesn't get much better.
Hold on. Mr. Wiggles?
Mr. Wiggles is a huge overfed cat. And that's John's roommate. And you know, what woman wouldn't like a man who has a roommate named Mr. Wiggles who's a cat?
There's so much there I can't do. There's just so much.
Joke overload. So what I'm getting is that this is a very successful, very handsome man that loves animals, you know, takes care of horses, loves cats, loves dogs, you know. It's just definitely.
Let's not overlook Jamie. You're overlooking the biggest thing here is whoever snags John gets to live at the frickin' Kentucky Horse Park.
John lives at the horse park?
He lives here at the horse park. I mean, that's pretty good, isn't it? You might even get to ride your horse around the park in the evenings. You know, right now, John has to share his romantic sunsets out here at the park with the flock of Canadian geese. So,
and Mr. Wiggles.
And Mr. Wiggles.
Mr. Wiggles. And those Canadian geese, let me say, they're no treat. They're nasty Canadian geese. They'll attack you. So now I have a question here that I'm sure all the girls are thinking about is, okay, we get to live at the Kentucky Horse Park, but there's kind of riding restrictions there, but does the wife of the director of the Kentucky Horse Park, number one, get to keep her horse there, and number two, get to ride anytime she wants?
You know, I guess that's something that would just have to be worked out with, you know, with John.
In the prenup? But,
it's, yeah, that way. Yeah, I would definitely get that in the prenup.
I thought I was bad here. I'm just trying to like get him a date or something, and you guys get married off with prenup agreements.
But you know, he also, he's just got so many good qualities. He's a, he's such a good human being, and he cares a lot about his employees. He cares a lot about the not only the horses here at the horse park, but all horses. He has allowed us to do so many things here at the Kentucky Horse Park to assist equine adoption organizations. You know, we try to do a lot to get unwanted horses adopted. We do a lot to raise money for you know, for equine shelters. He's just a great guy all the way around.
Cindy, question: are you single?
Oh, I am, but yes.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, so
come
do you have some other eligible bachelors out there?
I don't think she's allowed to date the boss.
No.
Because I'm like, we can hook this up right now. I mean, why not?
Oh, no, there are restrictions against that.
I have to say, too, Jamie, that John Nicholson has been, by the way, we're talking to Cindy, who's calling in from the Kentucky Horse Park. She's a PR out there nominating her boss, John Nicholson, for the Hottest Bachelor Award here in the mm-hmm. Hottest Horseman mm-hmm. Awards of 2010. And we, I have to say that John has been a terrific friend to the Horse Radio Network. He could not have been more cooperative in the 2 years for the World Equestrian Games with the 2010 radio show with Samantha and I, and he has just been accommodating for anything we've ever asked of him. He's come on the show. We've had him on the phone at times when he's been going through the drive-through getting his lunch. We caught him at the cleaners one day to come on the show. So he's been all over the place when we've had him talking about the park and WEG, and he was absolutely terrific about it.
He's always very accommodating and is very willing to do anything that promotes the equine industry, and that's nice too. You know, regardless of breed or discipline, he's for it and is very supportive of Horse Radio Network and anyone who's out there in the horse business who's doing something positive. So that's another great quality that I didn't put on my list of reasons why he is the most eligible bachelor.
But Mr. Wiggles? I'm still stuck on Mr. Wiggles, actually.
You know, there are a whole lot of women out there who would probably consider the fact that John rooms with a cat named Mr. Wiggles as being the, you know, that would sell it in itself. You wouldn't have to say anything else. A guy who likes cats, you know, that's a treasure.
Yeah. So I got to ask this question is, if you're calling from the horse park, is John actually there with you?
Is he in his office? He isn't. He is in a meeting right now and was going to be in a meeting for another hour. I called him before I called you guys to see if he could just tune in and either be well, he was going to be shocked. I didn't know whether he was going to be appalled or or appreciative. But unfortunately, yeah, he's in a meeting, so I don't think he's going to get
through.
To listen.
Yeah, so we can interrupt the meeting. I've done that before. I think we interrupted him one time when the First Lady was in his office.
Well, at least she's a horsewoman.
There's somebody else on the phone here, too. Can you hold on here, Cindy?
Sure.
Let me see. It looks like there's a caller by the name. This is Katie from. It's Katie from KPP. I know what Katie's calling about. Hold on there, Katie, and we'll talk to you in just a second. But all right, so we officially have accepted, haven't we, John's nomination in the eligible bachelor portion of this contest?
He's in. He's got some. Right. He's going to create some tough competition for sure.
He should be at the top of the list. I can't imagine. You know, there are a lot of nice eligible bachelors out there, but I don't think anybody's going to be able to get close to John.
All right, good. Well, thank you, Cindy. We appreciate it. And Jamie, did you get some pictures from Cindy too?
I did.
All right, we'll have to post those up on Facebook.
Yeah, we will. Cindy, thank you so much for calling and
nominating
John Nicholson as the Hottest Horseman Eligible Bachelor of 2010. Good
okay.
luck.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas, Cindy.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was fun. I think the word's getting out about your contest, and people are starting to go, oh, well, I'm going to nominate. I have somebody that needs nominated. I think the word's getting out here.
I'm just worried about Cindy's job when John finds out that she's over here talking on our radio show about single and living with a cat named Mr. Wiggles. I love
Mr. Wiggles.
She's in trouble.
You better believe I'm going to be calling John later today about Mr. Wiggles. he's going to be getting a call from me. Hey, this half hour is sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products, and it's something a little different today. We thought that Kentucky Performance Products had something special they wanted to promote, and they wanted me to do the commercial, and I said, ah, heck, let's just have one of you guys call in and talk about it. And I think that's why Katie from Kentucky Performance Products is on the line. Hi, Katie.
Hi, how are y'all?
Good. So I got a message from Karen that you guys had something special you wanted to talk about going on over there at Facebook, and I thought it would just be easier to get you on the show.
Yeah. What we're doing on Facebook today is we want to hear what our customers think. If people are using products and they're very happy with them, we want to hear their feedback. So what we're offering is to visit our Facebook page and click on the Reviews tab at the top of the page and write what they think about their product, how it's helped their horse, and we're offering a free KPP thank you gift box for those who put the reviews down. And we also offer people who aren't necessarily familiar with the products to go and read the reviews, and maybe it could help them out. So that's what we're doing today. We've had some good response so far, and we really appreciate the feedback we've gotten.
Well, you know, Katie, I see on here, I'm looking at, by the way, just go to Facebook and search Kentucky Performance Products, and it'll bring up their fan page. And I'm looking on here, and it looks like one of our regular listeners, Kim Francis Dobbins, posted on there, I won a bucket of Caraform, probably here, and became a true fan. My boy, a 17-year-old appendix quarter horse, is beautiful and happy. I have recommended KPP to all my horse buddies. Also, my boy is fairly fussy about any additives in his food, and he likes the taste of Caraform. I'm going to try Joint Armor next. And after reading Jan Clark's review, I also like the interaction KPP takes with their clients, rare this day. And I think that's one of the things that we've said on the show here before, is you guys do take the time to talk to people about what they truly need and or if they don't need something.
Right. And we understand that, you know, not every horse needs a supplement, but when they do, you know, we're out there to help you find what you need. We have a wonderful line of research-proven supplements to fit or meet specific needs of your horse. So we appreciate the feedback, and we do ask that people call in if they're having trouble picking out, thinking that they have a problem. Just see if we can help you out. We'd love to hear from you. You know, that's one thing we take pride in is our customer service and really working with people one-on-one.
And from what I understood from the message and what you're saying here, they get a gift box.
Yes,
they
do.
Is that right?
Yes, they do. They're going to get a bunch of KPP items, a hat, water bottle. Go on our Facebook page. You'll see a picture of some of the things that are going to be included in that box, and we'll contact them after we've seen their review and work with them on getting their gift box out.
Good. Well, Jennifer, can you post in there? So I want the gift box. Can you? We use KPP products. Can you post something on there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll talk all about it. I'll fight you for that water bottle.
Hey, Glenn, now I know you use Microface, so you can write on there, too. We want to hear what you have to say about it, too.
That's right. Yep, we
You're
will.
Eligible.
We'll definitely do that.
You know what Glenn
That's
will
right.
say about okay. it? Because he's the horse husband. He'll say, I love it. It's a teeny-weeny scoop and easy to feed.
Exactly right, yes.
Because he's a horse husband.
Yes. Hey, have you nominated him in your hottest horseman of the year?
I haven't.
I've been highly upset. I haven't been nominated at all. Nobody has nominated me at all.
Oh, bless.
No comment.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was going to call in and say I nominate all guys that are horse people, horse husbands, horse boyfriends, because I think it's rare that you find men that are really into horses. I mean, obviously women far outnumber them, but so I'm going
now,
to throw in your nomination, Glenn.
Oh, see, I've been nominated. Thank you, Katie.
Glenn's been nominated.
As far as your nomination for all horsemen, I cannot type all that on Facebook, so you're going to have to kind of narrow it down a little bit. That would be great. Thanks.
Well, that's hard. It's hard to narrow it down.
She just said, Katie, no. You just said, don't overplay this. You just said you nominated me. So
oh,
let's
yes,
stick with
right.
that.
Well, you're going to be Glenn, the face of all the horse husbands out there.
I'll be happy to send you over a hot picture of me, Jamie. I'll do that.
Please don't. Please don't. Just keep it yourself.
Oh, you guys are too much
and
fun.
That's, boy, we kind of trashed their commercial, didn't we? So this is it's kppusa.com. Stop over to their Facebook page if you're, and I know a lot of our listeners do use your product. So stop over there, put your review up, and get your free sack of goodies at their Facebook. Thank
well,
you
we look
so
forward
much,
to
Katie.
From you. Thank you,
all
guys.
Right.
You have a great morning.
You have a Merry Christmas.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, there's a fun commercial.
Gosh.
I got nominated. So there.
I cannot believe I have to add your name to the list.
I got nominated. Yay. I got nominated. Just thought I'd mention it.
Hey,
okay.
Glenn, did you get nominated today? I don't know.
Well,
I wasn't sure.
Nominated if I don't get nominated. My cat's name is the Beast. That's a manly cat's name. Mr. Wiggles, we're going to – what time was his meeting over? 10 o'clock? I think she said 10 o'clock. So we're going to have to try and call him after 10 o'clock and get him on the phone. That's just too much fun. I got to talk to John today. All right. Well, I think what's coming up next? Oh, hey, there was something else, too. I love Jeff Dunham. He's the number one comedian in the country right now. He's the puppet guy. And
yeah,
guy. Remember we said that we went to his concert and everything. Well, every year he actually does a Christmas card. So he does an audio or a video Christmas card. And this year is with Walter, which is his iconic. Walter's kind of this old guy who's grumpy about everything. And they did their Christmas card this year, and I actually recorded it here, and I want to play it for you because it's kind of funny. So.
Okay, hold on. I got to say that I am not sold on this Jeff Dunham guy, so this better be funny because you just talked about Jeff and Walter like they're two separate people. So, my friend, you have drank the Kool-Aid. You are listening to a guy with a hand puppet, and you're calling him two individuals. You're like, they did a Christmas card together. No, they didn't. It was one guy.
No, they're really two separate. When you're on stage watching them, they're two separate. Don't ruin my illusion here. I just got nominated.
Season greetings, everyone. Yes, and please never be. Dallas Navco. Dallas Collision Navco. Ah, screw it. Merry Christmas and learn English.
Now, you couldn't hear that too good in our system here, but the listeners can hear it, so I don't expect you to be impressed because we couldn't hear it too good in our end, but it was very funny. So that's Jeff and Walter. I'm sorry. I liked it. I think it was good. And you have no taste at all, though. Let's talk about this. I posted today the you know how we talked about food porn before and Horselicious posting their one item of the day that's just absolutely looks yummy. Well, today they posted baked French toast casserole with maple syrup, and it looks absolutely luscious. What could be wrong? It's got French toast, it's got maple syrup, it's got eggs, it's got nuts, and then you said you didn't like it. What the heck's wrong with that?
That I'm sorry. That looks disgusting. I hate to be Miss Negative Nancy today, but that's disgusting. You take bread and you dip it in egg and then you bake it. Like, gross. That is disgusting. I don't like French toast at all.
It's
nasty. Is that like some congealed egg in the corner? Is that what that is? It's like baked egg on it? Gross. Oh, and healthy, and it's full of sugar, and it's full of cholesterol. And
yeah.
That's what makes it all very good, Jamie. That's what makes it good. You'll never guess whose recipe this was. Paula Deen. It's a Paula Deen recipe because that, you know, it's probably got a pound of butter too. But I think we ought to get on to our next segment here. Why don't you lead the way there, Jamie?
All right. Well, every once in a while, we like to do the breed days, and today is no different. We are going to talk to Ellen. She's the newsletter editor for the Association of Hungarian Horses,
And, you know, I'm kind of starting fresh here, Ellen, because I have absolutely no idea what makes a Hungarian horse. But I've been doing a little bit of reading, and it's like a sport horse with this long, extensive romantic history. And I am all about the romance, Ellen. So please, good morning. Fill us in.
Good
How
morning.
Are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Once we started talking about the Hungarian horses as a breed, we've talked about the Knabstruppers and the Hackneys and Hungarian. I think I was less familiar with that than any of the others. So if you could start us at the beginning, Ellen.
Well, the beginning would be back in the 1700s and 1800s when the Hungarian government was breeding cavalry horses. And they were regarded as having the best cavalry horses in Europe. Hungary is sort of like Nebraska. It's got rolling hills and grassland. It's perfect ranching country. And so they raised cattle and horses. And they always had lots of people on horseback. But the government began buying up the top quality thoroughbred stallions along with some Arabians and breeding those to the local mares. And if you look in some old books like Colonel Podaski's book, My Horses, My Teachers, you'll see these horses referred to as Hungarian half-breds. They were inspected and went through sort of typical European sport horse breeding, but they don't like to call them warm bloods because they never crossed any draft lines into the breed. And so they called them actually high bloods, meaning that they had a high percentage of thoroughbred blood. And then during World War II, the breed was almost lost. Between World War II and the communists taking over Hungary, the breed was almost lost. But there were two Hungarian countesses who managed to escape to the United States. Both of them had American mothers who had married into the Hungarian nobility. And one of them, Margit, was quite young, like in her 20s, when World War II was going on. And she was smuggled out of the country by the underground and on a train and made it to the United States during the war.
Mm-hmm.
And her grandfather was Marcus Daly, the Montana Copper King, who was very wealthy. And so she had inherited a ranch and a lot of money from him. So once she got here and after the war was over, she was able to start trying to track down Hungarian horses and buy them up. The other countess, Judith Geierke, was a little older, maybe in her 30s during the war, and she actually remained in Hungary, and she faced down Nazi officers during the war. And then as the war was ending and they began to hear that the Russians were coming, she actually walked out and rode out of Hungary along with many people from her village and hundreds of livestock just ahead of the invading Russian army and made it to Vienna. By that time, she had lost almost all of her wealth. She had been using her jewelry to bribe officials and to buy hay for the horses as they walked out of the Russian-occupied territory. And she became a translator for a while for the U.S. Army in Vienna and married a army captain and came to the United States.
Captain Von Trapp?
And no, I don't actually remember the captain's name. But
I think that's the wrong story there, Jamie.
Yeah.
Sorry. Wrong one.
You're confused. Right country, wrong story. That marriage, unfortunately, didn't last for one reason or another, and Judith was quite poor for the rest of her life, but she managed to get 12 or 15 of her horses to Virginia, and she worked like minimum wage jobs for the rest of her life so that she could support her horses and keep them fed. But Judith and Margit had known each other in Hungary, and so they got in touch here. And in the meantime, the most unlikely people you can imagine, a Nebraska ranching, cattle ranching couple, had become interested in the Hungarian horses because the U.S. Remount Service had taken some as spoils of war and brought them to the United States right at the end of the war. And that's a whole story in itself. Those horses came over in the hold of a ship, and there were terrible storms on the way over, and they were like sloshing around in the water in the hold of the ship and arrived in really bad condition, but survived. They were tough. But shortly after that, of course, the Army figured out that in future wars, mounted cavalry was not going to be it. And so all of the remount horses were sold at auction. And Steve Cooksley, the Nebraska rancher, had a brother who was in the cavalry and knew about these horses. And so Steve bought at their auction, he bought 5 thoroughbred mares, and 3 of them happened to be in foal to a Hungarian stallion. And a few years later, as he was breaking those colts to ride, he thought, wow, this is the kind of horse I want to ride. And so he began searching for the Hungarian horses that by this time had been dispersed by the auctions at the remount service. Of course, this was back in 1950 when there wasn't an interstate highway system, and you didn't have big, powerful pickup trucks and nice four-horse trailers, so he couldn't travel the whole country picking up horses. But he looked for horses that were within a couple of states of him, and the first 2 stallions that he found both died before he was able to get them to the ranch. One of them was struck by lightning, and one of them got into chicken feed and foundered so terribly that it had to be put down. But finally, he contacted another rancher up in Montana. And this rancher had originally been assigned one of the remount stallions. I don't know if you know how the remount service worked, but the government would send these stallions out to different farmers and ranchers, and then the farmer or rancher would stand the stallion for a year or 2 or 3, and but they remained the property of the remount service. And Jim had received this Hungarian stallion named Han Palger from the remount service, and he absolutely loved this horse. And the story goes that a couple of years later, when the remount service called him up and said, we're coming down to see you and pick up the stallion, and Jim said, well, you may come and see me, but you aren't going to pick up the stallion.
Wow.
He was not going to let him go. And he eventually was able to buy him. And told Steve Cooksley about Han Palger. And so Steve contacted him to see if he could lease the stallion to put out with his mares. But by then, Countess Bessigny, Margit, had already arranged to borrow Han Palger. So eventually Steve got together with Margit, and they ended up working together. And Judith, Margit, and Steve and his wife Wanda kept the breed alive for about 20 years, pretty much on their own.
So fast forward a little bit, how many Hungarians are right now in the world or in the U.S. that you know of?
Well, in the U.S., there's a few hundred.
Wow.
And probably not a lot more than that in Hungary, because the communists, you know, thought that riding horses were a bourgeoisie luxury. And so many of the horses left in Hungary at the end of the war, of course, thousands and hundreds of thousands were killed during the war. And of the ones that were left, the communists either had them sold for meat, or they were put to jobs, you know, useful jobs like farming. And people weren't really allowed to raise sport horses for quite a long time in Hungary. And so
you have some Hungarian horses right now, right?
Right. I own two right now, and I've also leased a broodmare who's supposed to foal in the spring.
Aw, congrats. That'll be great. So just adding to the breed and the numbers. That's cool. So if what type of riding are the Hungarian horses best at? What type of sport?
Like the other sport horses, they are dressage and eventing and jumping, and they also are surprisingly good at endurance. Because that was one of the original points of the cavalry breeding program, you know, hundreds of years, was they wanted horses that could, you know, trot all day and then go into battle.
Right. Right. So are they, what is the standard height and, you know, colors and everything like that? To give us a picture of it.
Generally, they're between 15.2 and about 16.3. There's a few taller ones and a few shorter ones. The original breed standard called for horses that were 15.2 to 16 hands, but the modern market has encouraged making them a little bit bigger. They look quite thoroughbred-y, as you might expect from their background, but they have more bone. They're not as fine as a thoroughbred. I sometimes tell people that they are sort of like a thoroughbred with more bone and on Prozac, because their temperaments tend to be much quieter.
Well, I'm looking at some pictures now, and they look like, I mean, they look like a Dutch horse combined with a thoroughbred, you know, just like they're just a big, beautiful, gorgeous, well-put-together warm blood. That's pretty cool. I had no idea.
They're actually quite closely related to Trakehners, because the stud at Trakehnen and the stud at Kisber in Hungary used quite a few of the same stallions back in the late 1800s and the early 1900s, some of the main thoroughbred stallions. And actually, some of the top Trakehner horses today are descended from a stallion who was bred at Kisber in Hungary, and the Trakehnen stud bought him and changed his name.
Oh, Nikki.
I have a quick question. That's because I'm shopping on equine.com, and I want to make sure I'm looking at the right thing. Is it a Hungarian horse the same as a Hungarian warm blood?
Well, sort of. Because people know what warm bloods are, a lot of times we will identify them as Hungarian warm bloods so that people understand that they're sport horses. But in
all right,
the
then
registry,
I found one. 16.2 hands in New York. Only 125,000, Jamie, so we'll just ship it right over for Christmas. But it jumps and it does all kinds of stuff. It jumps and it'd probably be a great event prospect. So that's no problem. We'll just have it shipped down. To be fair, that's the most expensive one I found. Yeah, that's the most expensive one I found. I have found them in much less expensive than that.
Yes, yeah. Their price range varies, as most warm bloods do.
Now, Ellen, this is always one of my favorite questions. Within the Hungarian horse registry, and that's the proper term, it's called a Hungarian horse.
Yes.
So when you get your papers for your brand new Hungarian baby horse, it says Hungarian Horse Registry or something like that on the top of the papers?
Yes, Hungarian Horse Association of America, actually.
Okay, so it's a Hungarian horse. Is the Hungarian Horse Association Registry, is it closer to the jockey club model where mommy and daddy are registered, baby is registered, or is it closer to the European model where the horses have to be inspected before they're eligible for breeding?
It's closer to the typical American model, where if both parents are Hungarian horses, or if one of the parents is allowed to be a thoroughbred or an Arabian, because that was the original intent mm-hmm. of the Hungarian breeders in Hungary.
So it's what they call an open foal is registered. Sub-book, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And there's also a different, there's three books, well, actually four books now in the study.
Oh, now you're getting confusing, Ellen.
Well, it's really pretty simple. The first book is the one that we just talked about, where if both parents are Hungarian or if one of the parents is thoroughbred or Arab, they go into the main stud book. Then there's sort of the sport horse stud book, which involves crosses between Hungarians and other approved warm bloods.
Okay.
And that may be where people are calling them Hungarian warm bloods, is if they're registered. That's called the Sportlow book.
Okay.
Then there's a book for half Hungarian horses, and
that can be a Hungarian. Let me guess. Hungarian parent on one side, anybody else on the other side.
Well, yeah, anybody other than a thoroughbred Arab or warm blood, because those
I got it. Do I get a prize?
And then finally, there's a new stud book for Hungarian ponies, where they're crossing Hungarian horses with Welsh or European sport pony type ponies to get a smaller size.
Very interesting. Well, there you go. And just for Glenn, this is for Glenn's edification as much as anything else. The other day we were talking about the most expensive horse you ever bought, and I said my most expensive horse I ever bought just happened to have been a Hungarian horse.
Really?
Yeah. It was, and we didn't get papers with him. He came from a dubious location, and he probably looked a lot like those ones that came over in the hold of the ship. Yeah.
And would this have been, how long ago would this have been?
This was been the 80s.
Well, I'll tell you where that horse came from.
Yeah, tell me.
Oh, boy.
Margaret Bessigny had 200 or 300 on her ranch in Montana when she unexpectedly died.
Oh, dear.
And her intent had been to maintain all of the bloodlines she could until Hungary got out from behind the Iron Curtain. She was convinced that eventually they would get out from communist rule, and then she was going to return those horses to Hungary. But at the time she died, she had not made provisions in her will. And her executor, who was a New York City lawyer and didn't know squat about horses, had those horses almost immediately dispersed at auction without papers.
Ah, so he just wanted to get them the heck out of his life so he didn't have to deal with it, yeah.
Yes. Hmm. And
wow.
He lost a lot of stock as far as bloodlines and DNA diversity when that happened.
Oh, it was a tragedy for the breed.
Wow. What a shame.
Isn't it funny what a small world this is?
Hmm.
So most likely you bought a horse that was bred by Countess Margit Bessigny.
Well, that would explain why he was so special, because he was very...
That's the most royal horse we've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
Was this horse gray?
He was a mahogany bay with four white socks.
Uh-huh.
And he had a brand on his neck.
Mm.
And we got a mare and a gelding at the same time, and the mare was a chestnut mare with the same type of brand. It was two letters and a digit on one side on their crest. And then the other side had a brand. It was letters or digits, and I don't remember what they were. As a matter of fact, the mare we named by her brand. It was a cute set of letters when you said it out loud.
Uh-huh.
And the gelding's name was spelled B-O-K. B-A-K-O-N-Y is how we pronounced it, but we had no idea if that's how you really said it or anything.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember what the mare's name was really supposed to be.
Well, she did have a stallion who was named Barsony.
So it would make sense that they would name the foals with the same first letter.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool, because, you know, when we got them, we were told that. We're going, okay, we can't prove a darn thing. And, you know, when I look up Hungarian horse on the Internet, that you really didn't get much. Because I would surf around trying to find out what the little brands meant and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's very difficult information to track down.
It is. And, you know, another part of, you know, that Linda Tellington rode Hungarian horses for a couple of years, and there were articles in Western Horsemen about them.
Huh. How about that? I'll have to look that up.
Well, it has been an interesting and informative, Ellen, this has been awesome to find out kind of where Jennifer and Glenn Torres came from. That's so cool. We really appreciate you joining us and telling us about the Hungarian horses. And I think your website is HungarianHorses.org, which we will post as well, so people can log on there and kind of find out anything else they want to learn about Hungarian horses. So we do appreciate you being with us.
Well, thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
You are very welcome, and we'll talk to you again soon, hopefully. And Jen, you need to track down some photos of that horse and send it to Ellen, and she can kind of maybe identify them for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, the chestnut we don't have any pictures of, but the bay, I have lots and lots of pictures. He was one of my event horses.
Yeah, yeah, send those.
That's cool.
Merry Christmas, Ellen.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, well, there you go, Jennifer. That was a revelation. That isn't a small world. The horse
That's
world is
cool.
so
really,
small.
So
yeah.
Then he probably really was a Hungarian horse. That's so cool.
There you go. It's funny how as soon as you said the time frame, she went, I know where that horse came from.
Yeah, and
so.
I think it's funny that you're like, yeah, you know, we bought this horse, and, he belonged to a countess. You had a countess, a Hungarian countess's horse. That's insane.
Isn't that wild?
We had a royal horse. That's better than the queen's horses.
Hey, you guys, we got to move on. We got to get to news because we've got Lisa from the Chronicle calling in. And just want to let you know that the news tag today is brought to you by Pocket Stable. Pocket Stable is the only app that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all of their information, including vaccines, deworming, farrier, dentist visits, together and easily accessible. You can track the weight, get reminders of important events, and you can visit them at pocketstable.com or search for them if you have an iPhone. Yesterday, my farrier came, and I was so excited to open my Pocket Stable app and type in the dates that the farrier came, because I always go, was it been 6 weeks, 5 weeks, 7 weeks? I have no idea. Do they need new shoes? I don't know. Can they go another week? So this is going to help me keep track of it a lot better. So iPhone users, pocketstable.com, keep control of your apps. And now, let's go to the news with Chris.
This is the Horse Radio Network News. The Netherlands' Adeline Cornelissen and Jerick Parseval secured a second resounding victory in the 2010-2011 Riem Acre FEI World Cup Dressage Series when heading the lineup with a score of 83.65% at the fourth leg at Olympia in London on Wednesday. The lively atmosphere in the packed Grand Hall tested some of the equine competitors' nerve endings to the limit, but the Dutch duo rose to the challenge to create what Grand Jury President Andrew Gardner described as a very lovely picture, very complete with no issues, and there was brilliance in this test. Britain's Laura Bechtelsheimer and Mistral Horace, who pipped Cornelissen on Tuesday's preliminary Grand Prix with a new British record score, had to settle for runner-up spot this time with a score of 80.5%, while Dutch star Edward Gall finished third, riding Sister de Jure, on 77.5%. America's Catherine Adat lined up fourth, following a great performance from her 10-year-old Winamaro to score 74.8% and subsequently shot to the top of the leaderboard ahead of the next leg in Frankfurt, Germany. The American Horse Council is continuing its efforts to collect information on access issues that equestrians are experiencing on federal land. The Council will shortly be publishing its 2010 report on equestrian access on federal land and stresses the importance of equestrians reporting their experiences, good and bad, by the end of the year. This information is vital to its efforts to protect equestrian recreation on federal land. In 2009, the American Horse Council released its first report on equestrian access on federal land, which provided a brief overview of the responses the Council received from equestrians. This effort was prompted by a growing concern among recreational riders around the country that were seeing a reduction in the number of trails and trailheads open to them on federal land. 32-year-old Jake Chaflin from Unionville, Pennsylvania, who was paralyzed following a fall at the Blue Ridge Point-to-Point in Virginia last September, is fighting to regain his strength and adapt to a life in a wheelchair while determined to walk again. He has been supported by friends and acquaintances who established the Jake Chaflin Beneficiary Trust to help him meet his special needs, which are anticipated to be in excess of $1 million. Chasing for Chaflin, the committee which is leading the fundraising efforts, has raised approximately $125,000 through the sale of merchandise and a gala event called Stealing the Start, which was held earlier this month. The next event, a day of fox hunting, will be hosted by the Cheshire Foxhounds on December 18th, where Jake was a member of their field. And that's all the news this Friday morning. I'm Chris Stafford for Horses in the Morning.
Thompson. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. Well, next up, we have Lisa from the Chronicle of the Horse with us every Friday. She is here with the Friday Chronicle Report, and it sounds like she has some cool stuff to talk about today. And, of course, this show today is sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Well, hi, Lisa.
Good morning.
How are you? You getting ready? You only have a couple days left for Christmas. You have all your shopping done?
Not quite. Although I will have to say that the internet is a wonderful thing for that. So.
Do you have my gift yet, Lisa?
Oh, of course. That was the first one I got.
And you know why that is, Katie? Because I am. That it's because I'm nominated. That's why she has my gift, because I'm nominated.
All right, I got to put you on the list. We'll see. We'll see.
No, well, Lisa, it's getting close.
Yeah, what are we chatting about today? What's on the list? What's the fun stuff?
Well, this morning, I wanted to bring to you on our website. We have some really fabulous bloggers. You can check them out if you go to www.crownofhorse.com/blogs. And we have one of our awesome bloggers. Her name is Lauren Spreiser. She is a dressage trainer. She's actually local to us. She's based out of Marshall, Virginia. She's really super. She's, you know, ridden a couple horses at Grand Prix. She has some really nice young horses. And she's also, she's just a phenomenal blogger. She's really funny, really smart. And I think it was last week she put out this blog about things that, there are five things that drive your trainer crazy, and then five things that you might think would drive your trainer crazy but actually don't. And it was just really awesome. It's really funny, and she's had, like, such an outpouring of response to it because, you know, from trainers and from people, because trainers are saying, like, wow, this is such good advice. You know, these are things that we wish our students knew. And then students saying, like, oh, this is really helpful. You know, I can kind of figure out how to make my trainer a little bit happier, hopefully.
Well, you know, this is a funny one because, as we know, Jamie is a trainer and Jennifer's a trainer, too. So I think you're going to get some comments with this.
Ah, okay. Well, we'll see if they agree with these. So the first one, I'll start with the five things that drive your trainer crazy first. The first one is showing up late, which I think is something, you know, everyone can probably relate to.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. Your lesson is at 4. You don't show up at 4. Like, seriously, there's crap that goes into this. My gosh. Yeah.
There is a caveat to that, though, that I would like to add.
Okay.
For the student who is chronically and consistently late,
yes,
I like that one because that way I can predict the fact that their lesson starts at 4. They're not really going to be on their horse till 4:30. So that creates a half-hour break in my day.
Okay. So you can kind of schedule around that.
If they're consistent,
you lose money,
you know,
when you do that.
You know, and she said, if you have a problem, like you're stuck behind a school bus or you have a flat tire, you know, just make sure you call. You know, things happen, but just so everyone is aware of what's going on. So that's
the
first
one. Yeah, and they all think they can get their horse ready in 5 minutes. So if they show up at 5 minutes to 4, they're going to be done. They're going to have it ready. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
I have some ladies that come on Wednesday, and they are always late. Always. And I hope they're listening because I'm going to sell them out. Charnel and Natalie, you guys are always late every single week. And it's like you're supposed to be here at 4. You show up at 4:45, and this past time, every time I've been like, okay, well, I'll just fit it in. I'll fit it in. This time I go, it's your time. This is your time that you've lost. I'm not going to lengthen your lesson. You have 15 minutes. Go.
Right.
When it's chronic and you don't call, it makes me crazy.
Yeah.
And then
that's
all right, I'll sit back
and
listen.
Crazy.
I'll chill out now. Go ahead.
Hey, Lisa, it must be tough being Jamie's students because they know whatever they do, it's going to be on the air the next day. That's
yep.
Got to be tough.
You're going to get
sorry,
called
guys.
Out in a public forum.
Yep.
Yep.
So the next one is tack that doesn't fit. And she says that, you know, it doesn't have to be really expensive, the newest tack on the market. But she said, you know, if your saddle doesn't fit your horse, it's really not doing anyone any good. You know, you're sort of spinning your wheels at that point. So that was the next thing that she said. And then the third one that drives her crazy, and I'm sure most trainers, is riders that are on the wrong horse. And she says, this one, alas, happens all the time and is the hardest fix, whether it's because you bought with your heart and not your head or because you got snookered by a crooked trainer who's just wanting to make a sale. If you're on some wild beast, it's going to kill you, or you think it's going to kill you, something's got to give. And again,
something
she says,
comes to
you know,
mind there. Something comes to mind there.
Green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close to fire.
Wow, that's
just real
fun. Amen. Oh, my gosh. And then you try to tell them, you know, maybe this is not the most appropriate horse for you, and then they start crying. Joanna,
right. Sorry. Because everyone's attached to their horses, even if maybe you want to kill them half the time.
Yeah, you shouldn't cry after every time you ride your horse because they're
right.
So bad.
Right. But again, she says, this doesn't mean that you have to have a super fancy, talented warm blood. You know, if the horse that's going to help you progress the quickest is an Appaloosa Hackney cross, then by all means, that's the horse that you should be sitting on. So that was the third one.
What else?
Then the next one is, the fourth one is riders who keep digging, which is riders who, it sounds like basically just sort of keep doing things the same way and having the same problems. So it says,
the ones that hear you but don't really hear you.
Right, right. Yeah. It says, you know, we all have our nagging equitation faults, the stuff we need to hear about every 10 seconds and still won't sink in for weeks. But goodness, if you've made the same bad leg yield 12 times, perhaps it's time to try something else. Kick, pull, do something too much, dramatically change the plan and see what happens. So I think that's,
yeah,
you know, good advice for everyone, because you tend to just get stuck in sort of a rut sometimes.
Yeah. All right.
All right, so the next one that drives her crazy is riders with 37 reasons why they can't. And this sounds like, you know, the people who have every excuse in the book as to why they can't even try something different.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like it's hitting home a little bit.
Well, that's just a human condition, you know, that happens to be sitting on a horse. The,
right,
oh, well,
right.
I, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this, I can't do that. And, ooh, yep. that's a tough one, because that's just, that's a human being.
Yep.
We need to call Dr. Oakley on that one.
So
but I can't. You know, I'm good at that. I have to admit, I got to say, guys, I'm pretty good at the I can't one when I'm riding. Like, because it requires
now,
the effort to do it right.
Yeah. Right.
So... You
now,
know, that's
Glenn,
the problem with that one.
You had the best horse husband line ever the other day when you were sitting on Beaker. And you, Glenn, he always, every time he's sitting on Beaker, he says, okay, what do I work on today? He needs a goal.
Uh-huh.
And I said, Glenn, you just need to sit there and relax and get to know Beaker so he can get comfortable with who you are. Because Beaker's favorite thing to do when Glenn rides him is stop, which I think is a fantastic thing to do. We like that.
Yeah, of all the responses, that's a pretty good one.
What did you say when I told you you needed to work on being more relaxed, Glenn?
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember.
Glenn said, I've never been relaxed, honey.
That's true. That is kind of true. I'm bouncing on my ball right now.
When you said that, it was like a light bulb moment for me. I went, oh, my God, he's right. You aren't.
That's right. That is true.
You're wired
tight
channel thing all the time.
Now, that's the five things that trainers, you know, that drive trainers crazy about their students,
yep.
But there's the other way too, right?
Yes, there are things that you maybe think would drive a trainer crazy, but actually don't, or at least don't drive Lauren crazy. So
okay.
The first one of those is, it's entitled Lacking the Matchy Match. So she says, you know, white's traditional, but one of her favorite students shows up in a green vest, navy pad, neon orange polo wraps, and, you know, nothing matches. And she says, it's amazing. I so do not care. So that's one thing.
See, that's one that I think there are some, and I know this for a fact, there are some coaches that the matchy match is of the utmost importance.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I've had them shop with me. And I'm going, well, here, look, we have black polo wraps in the exact size you need. Oh, no, we don't use black polo wraps.
And I would think maybe if you show up at, you know, a George Morris clinic and, you know, some off-colored breeches and some pink saddle pad or something, that, you know, maybe that's not the smartest thing to do.
Oh, George Morris would kill you. He might just kill you.
Okay, so the next thing that doesn't drive Lauren Spreiser crazy is horses who aren't show ring ready. And I think this is probably another one that some trainers, you know, if you show up, your horse's tail needs to be perfectly brushed through. But some trainers don't mind. You know, she understands horses, some horses live out. Some people, you know, don't want to give their horses baths when it's negative 20 degrees outside. So if they come and, you know, their tail doesn't look perfect, they're not the cleanest they've ever been in their life, that's sort of okay with her.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I've had trainers yell at me for having a piece of shavings in my horse's tail when I went to ride.
Yep.
So I need to ride with this lady. Apparently my mismatching clothes and my dirty horse would be okay.
Yep, as long as, you know, you're willing to try. It sounds like all those things would be fine.
Yeah.
So well, the next thing on this list is the non-traditional horse. You know, it says,
that would be everyone we've ever had. That would be every single one we've ever had.
Yep. And she says, my dream is that each of my students is on a horse who suits them physically, emotionally, and financially. If that creature is a nice bay warm blood, grand. If it's got spots or a dish face or feathers or mane, you only need one rubber band to braid, then that's just fine, too.
Yeah, I totally agree. As long as you're comfortable and it's comfortable and you guys are happy, I'm happy. Doesn't
yep.
matter what it is.
Yep. So the next one that doesn't drive her crazy that sometimes I guess people think might is beginners. You know, she gets calls, it says, from people who want to take lessons, but they think maybe they're not ready. And she says no, like she absolutely welcomes beginners, that it's easier to teach people right the first way almost, you know, than to go back and correct mistakes that people have had from writing correctly for years. So that's no problem with her.
Good.
And then the last one on the list is people who ask a lot of questions. You know, she says she would rather have someone understand exactly what she's telling them than to, you know, interrupt a little bit of working to go ahead and ask a few questions. So.
Yeah, if you're sitting there having no idea what to
Yeah, I think that's another one that's probably a little bit of a personal thing, you know.
Do you mind? You don't mind the questions, Jamie? Because there's some trainers that just it drives them crazy.
No, ask away. It's better for me to sit there and re-explain it in a different way than to have you have no idea what I'm doing, and I keep saying the same thing over again.
Right.
If you don't understand it, let me know, because clearly I don't want to keep saying the same thing over and over again. I need to translate it in a different way for you to understand it. It's like,
right.
You know, just to go back to the basics, that, you know, teaching somebody a diagonal, if you don't understand why you go up when that outside leg goes forward, then you should ask, why do I do that? And I guarantee you some trainers can tell you, but it's like, because you're getting off of the inside hind, you know? So if you don't understand it, ask me. If I say something and you don't get it, ask me why, please. So I'm with her.
Yeah, it almost seems like a waste of, you know, everyone's time and money if you go to a lesson and you leave and you have no idea why you just did what you did or even how to do, you know, what your trainer told you to do.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So I love the end of this blog. I think it's so funny. It says, you know, so knock the dust off your Quorab, grab your pink polos and your tweed saddle pads and come on out for the lesson that even if it seems hard, you're going to try it. You'll be amazed at the results. I love that. And so many pictures of me growing up, I had fluorescent yellow saddle pad, you know.
Yep.
My horse, his color was baby blue and he was a chestnut. And it was just god-awful hideous. But you know what? I loved him and I still got lessons.
Yep. So, yeah.
All
that was
right.
It. But if, you, if you're interested in checking out, Lauren has a website, which is just Lauren Spreiser, SPRIESER.com.
And of course, give the Chronicles website again.
We are www.crownofhorse.com.
And you guys, is it look all festive over there at the Chronicle offices there? And beautiful, that town you're in is so beautiful there, Virginia.
It is, yep. And we're actually having a little holiday get-together this afternoon, so everyone's looking forward to that. And we have a little snow on the ground, so it looks quite festive outside even.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah.
And you know, we'll make sure that you get my address for that gift you bought me that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, I'll have to get that, definitely.
Okay. Well, thank you, Lisa. We appreciate it. I don't know. Are we talking to you next week? Or is it, I guess next week we're having a... Are we? Okay.
I was going to be on... I think I'm on Wednesday or Thursday, a little bit earlier in the week.
Okay, good. All right. Sounds good. Well, we'll talk to you next week then.
All right. Good deal. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lisa.
Bye.
Well, that was Lisa from the Chronicle of the Horse. And, of course, Jamie and I and Jennifer, we all go to the Chronicle almost every day and check out the articles over there. That's just something we do. Well, I have to give everybody a Facebook update. It's been a while here. Courtney Young says on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, Boynton Silver Martin for best couple. Courtney, they are a great couple. First of all, Boyd's been nominated about every category there is. He's the eventer out of Pennsylvania with the Australian accent. But we really meant rider and horse. So that's what we meant by that.
Yeah. Is Silva his wife?
Yes, Silva is his beautiful wife.
That's funny. Yes,
she would be nominated in. I was just going to say she would be nominated in the hottest women contest because they're a beautiful
and
couple.
That's definitely not what we're going to do. We are simply including the men. That's it.
That's right. That's correct. And then I don't know how to say it. I think it's Sumiko. If I got that wrong, I'm sorry, Sumiko, says, would it be appropriate to nominate Mike Smith and Zenyatta for best couple? You know, that's interesting. That's kind of interesting. You know what?
Yeah. Technically, are they still a couple?
No, I guess they're broken up now.
They totally broke up.
Mike Smith has something different to say about that, though.
And then Debbie Metcalf says, hey, guys, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Debbie. We appreciate that. She says she's putting the show in her next newsletter. Well, thank you for that. We appreciate that. And then Linda, who has the longest name ever, whose name almost ends, it ends in Rudolph. Oh, wait a minute. It's Linda Rudolphy. It ends in,
Linda
in an I.
Linda Rudolph.
Yeah, that's right. And she says the history of the Hungarian horses is very interesting. It was very interesting how they've come over, how they came over in the whole World War II thing. And, you know, obviously in World War I and II, the horses were used extensively. So thank you for everybody for the comments. Did you notice what we were up to on, did you notice our count there on Facebook?
No, what is it?
644.
Yay! Fantastic.
We have been,
the more the merrier.
We gained almost 150 this week. So we thank everybody, all our new listeners and everybody for joining in. I think we had another story here. I wanted to bring out that that they just had the United States Eventing Association Conference. And one of the things I think that came out of that was that eventers wholeheartedly embraced the proposed mandate that any rider mounted anywhere on competition grounds wear a properly fitted helmet, which means top hats and hunt caps will no longer be allowed in national-level competitions. So I think that's terrific. I just wanted to bring that out. Apparently, if you haven't had a chance to watch it, there was a keynote speech done by Oliver Townend. And it was apparently very funny. And there's videos out there now of him doing his keynote speech there. And his accent's kind of thick, so you really have to listen. But I listened to almost the whole thing. And the one funny thing was about him going to his counselor. British Eventing sent him to a counselor to help with his burgeoning drinking problem. And that whole section is very funny. You'll love that. You should listen to that, Jamie. It's very funny.
I'll have to watch it. I do know that he actually kind of, you know, like you said, with our contest, and there's so many people that have sent you emails saying that the Hottest Men contest is horrible, and then we've got, you know, 100 times that of nominations and people getting really excited about it, just like his speech. There's been, like, people that have been bagging on the guy for getting up there, and see, I think it is a very brave thing to get up there and to talk about your personal problems and your personal life and tell a story about yourself. And there's these people that are like, oh, it was so uncomfortable, him talking about his drinking problems, and he doesn't really like the horses. And like, come on, people, lighten up. I mean, but there's so many other things to worry about. So, Glenn, I'm glad that you took the side of it's a very entertaining speech, and I think he was very brave to give it.
And
he's so funny.
And I think that the article by Kat Netzler, actually, I think it was very funny because right after she talked about what he said about the drinking, and he made some jokes about it. You know, she says the battle is ongoing, is an ongoing one for Townend, and it proved to be a losing one for many of the other convention attendees who found their inner Marmadukes in the evening hours throughout the weekend at various parties and cocktail receptions. So there you go. Okay. You know, it may be uncomfortable for some of them because it's hitting a little too close to home. So, you have to take that. Sumiko said, just posted, Glenn, you pronounced my name correctly, which was great to hear. I get it pronounced any number of ways. Well, look at that. That's because I've been nominated. That's why. It's because I've been nominated.
Oh, God. We're going to hear about this forever. Unbelievable.
Thank you so much, KPP Katie. Really.
I know. She's in trouble.
Nominated. I need to find a nominated song, and we'll play that out today. Just hold on one second. I can find something, I'm sure, that says Glenn's been nominated. If anybody has any musical talent, we accept Glenn has been nominated songs. You can send those in. I have a nice prize for you. I'll play it on Monday. So if you have any musical talent, we can accept that just to drive Jamie crazy. We'll play
please
it every
don't.
Day
please
over
don't.
And over.
Please don't. Please don't. You know I am on the board of governors for the selection process of this, so you really should warm up to me, Glenn, and not give me a lot of slack, okay? Am I right, Jennifer? I mean, you're on the board of governors,
out of
too.
It. I didn't nominate nobody, remember?
Neither did I. Awesome. Kentucky Performance Products, you guys are in big trouble. I'm going to send a strongly worded letter to your boss.
I love you guys. Hey, I think that's about it. What do you got planned this weekend, Jamie? I know what you have planned. Forget it. Yeah, that little thing about your hubby coming home.
Yeah, he's getting home tomorrow night at like 11:30, so I'm going to have to stay up late and wait for him to come home, and then I got to go to the airport. Hopefully he's not listening. He's probably not. No, don't worry. I'm going to make a big sign that says, welcome home, and I'm going to embarrass him with all the other pilots there. So I'm excited. I'm going to take care of him, and then I have no idea what else I have planned aside from all day today. I will be cleaning the house in preparation of his arrival. Yay!
And it's what a horse woman does when the horse husband's about to come home after being gone for 2 weeks because nothing has been cleaned for 2 weeks.
Oh,
it's
my God.
A horse woman thing.
It is disgusting in my house. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I haven't taken my boots off before I've come in. I haven't done a load of laundry. My entire closet is where I use all my clothes. My hamper is. It smells like a horse. I love it. It's been awesome. But now I got some work to do.
All right. Hold on a second. I'm just sending my thank you out for Katie nominating me on Facebook. Let me finish that up now.
What are you guys doing this weekend to change the subject? What are you guys up to?
We're shoveling ice.
Yeah. I'm just looking out, and it is freezing rain again this morning. It just started a little while ago, and everything is covered in another layer of ice after the last hour and a half on the air here. So I think that's what we're going to be doing. We're supposed to be going to a Christmas party tomorrow night, so that'll be a lot of fun. And spending a little bit of time with our horsey Beaker, who's probably covered in a layer of ice as well.
Poor guy.
We'll be doing that, too. That's about it. We have a great week planned. Let's talk a little bit about next week. We will be live Monday through Thursday. On Friday, which will be Christmas Eve, we will be here. There will be a show. We recorded a special holiday episode with Templeton Thompson. We'll be playing a little of her music and having some fun with that. And then the following week, I'll be here Monday through Wednesday. And Jamie will be here Thursday with Helena doing the award ceremony where I get announced as the hottest horse husband. And then on the day before New Year's, we have another special episode. Every year we get together. All the hosts get together from the Horse Radio Network. Last year, I think it was four of us. This year, it was six of us, six different hosts. We all got together on one show, and we recorded, I would say, was one of my funnest shows of the year so far. It was a blast. You're going to hear what day is that? The 31st. You're going to hear a very, very special talent that Jamie has that nobody knew of. So we're going to play that for you on the day before New Year's, the 31st, New Year's Eve. That'll be on that special episode, the all-host holiday episode, where we all got together and just had fun for an hour. And Jamie definitely came out with the best talent of anybody. So
I don't know about that. Glenn, you know, that is great. Oh, you know, we got all this going on, blah, blah, blah. Guess who's going to be on our show Monday? Oh, yeah. Brandon Phillips. He was nominated by Patty Hanko. He's an Omega Alpha sponsored rider. He's the hot polo player. Brandon Phillips,
polo
player. I don't know what I'm going to talk to him about, but I am very excited and somewhat nervous about this interview. So if you guys have any questions for Brandon Phillips just about being hot or being a polo player or Omega Alpha, whatever, just email me because I need some help. I'm going to be just like blah, 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 blah.
Jennifer, did you set this one up?
I did.
And does he know why he's coming on?
Yes, he knows. But I did tell him ahead of time that we wanted to learn a little bit about polo.
Oh, we have to talk about polo. Jamie's going, we have to talk about polo?
I don't even, what is polo? What's a chucker? Just talk. Just keep going.
Yeah.
Just,
my question is, why is it that 8 out of 10 polo players are handsome? It's a much, much higher ratio than average.
They're all hot.
Is there some kind of a screening you have to go through to become a polo player?
I know. You have to have your, like, picture taken and pass some sort of modeling thing. And then Polo's been running the ads for the cologne now that it's Christmas time, and they've been having the hot Polo players on there. Oh, yeah. Oh, TV yeah. is good.
Yeah, all I can say is Chad better get home soon.
I got to put this on my yeah. side, though, for all the guys listening, and we do have a few anyway. It's funny with Polo, which is a very active, hang-off-the-horse kind of sport, and the horse ballers, the women in horse ball were all hot, too. So I don't know. It must be that high-energy sport thing. I don't know. Because mm-hmm. they were
I
all
like
kind of hot, too. Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap this show up. Let's get out of here for the weekend.
Sorry.
Be sure to listen to all the other shows on the network at horseradionetwork.com. I've been nominated. Also, you can follow us on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. I've been nominated. And we are on Twitter at horseradio/I've been nominated.
Oh, what have we done? This is trouble. All right, whatever. If you listen to the live show, you can still listen to the record. Sorry, I can't even focus. If you miss the live show, listen to the recorded version on our website. I have to post. Do I have to post a picture of you on Facebook with the other guys? No.
Green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you.
Sorry, I had to do it.
Don't miss an episode unless, you know, you've listened to this one for the first time. You'll never listen again. We'll be back Monday morning. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Love to you. Be safe.